Most of y'all, does everybody have a handout for this week? Anyone need one? We have a few more if you need one. Of course, we're looking at systematic theology, something different than what we've done in the past, looking at specific doctrines of the Bible that we believe as a church, we believe individually as Christians. And the first thing we're looking at is bibliology, which is a study of God's holy word. And we've already looked at the authority of Scripture, and we looked at the inspiration of Scripture. It's very important that we who say we believe the Word of God need to have some understanding as to why we believe it, because we are going to be challenged in our faith, whether that's in school, at work, by family. Why do you believe what you believe? Well, for most Christians, for most church members, we only believe what we believe because we've been told to believe it. We've never really studied it for ourselves. And so this is what this whole thing is about. We're skimming through this. This is not a very laborsome theological class by no means. I'm just giving you just the bare minimum of these different subjects. What we're going to be looking at this evening is the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. And really the doctrine of the sufficiency of Scripture is a basic belief. It is an absolutely fundamental belief of the Christian faith. And I think you have the definition in your handout. It says the sufficiency of Scripture means that Scripture contained all the words of God that He intended His people to have at each stage of redemptive history, and that it now contains all the words of God we need for salvation, for trusting Him perfectly, and for obeying Him perfectly. And so to say the Scriptures are sufficient means that it provides for us a very clear demonstration of God's intention to restore the broken relationship between humanity and Himself. And the Scripture is very clear how He does this. He does this through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a gift to us who were lost. And so the sufficiency of Scripture means that no other writings, no other books are necessary for this good news, for this gospel to be understood, nor are any other writings required to equip us for the life of faith. The key verse, you should have that in your handout, or key verses this Sunday, is found in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and probably one of the strongest verses on the issue of the sufficiency of Scripture comes from this passage found in Psalm 19 and verse 7. Where David really rejoices in God's word and he declares it to be perfect and trustworthy, and so many other things. It says in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." So just tremendous passages that Scripture that teaches us why we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. There's many warnings concerning this. Colossians chapter 2 deals with the dangers a church faces when the sufficiency of Scripture is challenged, and when it is then merged with non-biblical books or writings that are full of ungodly theology and ideas. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul warned the church at Colossae. In Colossians 2:8, he said, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy." And that word cheat has the idea of taking you captive. So he says, "Beware lest anyone takes you captive." How? "Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And so he says, hey, you better look out. You don't mix God's word with vain, empty deceit of the traditions of men. And actually, Jude says it even more specifically when he writes in Jude chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Beloved," he said, "I was going to write unto you concerning our common salvation." But then he said, "I found it necessary or needful to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." And you notice that phrase there, "once and for all." So that makes it clear that no other writings, no other books, no matter how godly the pastor, no matter how theologically smart the theologian is, those other writings are not to be seen as equal to the Word of God itself. That is, the Bible, sufficiency of Scripture, means that the Bible is all that is necessary for the believer to understand the character of God. The Bible is all that is needed to understand the very nature of man and the doctrines of sin, hell and heaven and salvation through Jesus Christ. So that's what the sufficiency of Scripture means, that the Bible is all that is necessary. Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Notice what he says. He says, "From childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." So he didn't say, hey, Timothy, a person needs the Bible plus this and this and this in order to be saved. No. He says very plainly, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation." That is, the Scriptures tell us our need of eternal salvation. I would say, and probably you would agree with me tonight, that the sufficiency of Scripture is under attack today. And sadly, that attack comes far too often from even those who call themselves churches. Things such as worldly methods of drawing crowds through whatever, that be entertainment or whatever. You see, in essence, they're saying that God's Word is not sufficient enough on its own. We have to do something else to get the people in. We have to do something to keep the people that come in. And so in essence, they're saying that the Scripture is not enough. There's also this thing of extra-biblical revelations and mysticism that's very popular today. Preachers and church members alike having dreams and visions. And they declare that those dreams and visions are just as inspired as God's Word. But remember, we looked at this morning. We have been looking at it for a while. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That is, His voice is all we need to hear And the scriptures are his voice completely. And they are absolutely sufficient for us. So Psalm 19, verse 7 through 9 is the most really concise statement on the sufficiency of Scripture ever made in recorded in the Word of God. The psalm was penned by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And these three verses offer to us an unwavering testimony from God himself about the sufficiency of his word for every situation. And so we're going to be looking at David, how he made six statements. And each of these statements, he highlights a characteristic of Scripture, and he describes it and how that Scripture has its effect in the life of the one who embraces the Scripture. So notice, first of all, Scripture is perfect. Scripture is perfect. And the first part of verse 7, David says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The word law there does not necessarily mean only the Ten Commandments. The word law there speaks of the whole of the Old Testament. He's saying everything, the all-encompassing Scripture, all of it is perfect. Now, the word perfect doesn't mean perfect as the way we generally mean it today. The word perfect is the translation of a common Hebrew meaning that means whole or complete or sufficient. It conveys the idea of something that is complete so as to cover all aspects of an issue. So Scripture is encompassing all that is necessary to one's spiritual life. David's implied contrast here is with the imperfect, insufficient, flawed reasoning of men. He's using this as a comparison to say that God's word is perfect, it is complete, in contrast to that of men. And that is so true. David said that God's perfect law affects people. How? By converting the soul, by restoring the soul, by reviving the soul. To paraphrase David's words, Scripture is so powerful and so comprehensive that it can convert or transform the entire person, changing someone into precisely the person God wants him to be. Have you ever seen this take place in someone's life besides your life? I can't help but think about, and some of you may remember, Hestel York. Boy, for years, his wife Pat prayed for Hestel. And I know Brother Gary went and visited him many times and trying to get him where he needs to be with the Lord. And I'll never forget the service in which he got right with the Lord. And that statement right there where it talks about the law of the Lord is perfect and how it converts the soul, it reminds me of what the Lord did in Hestel York's life. And from that point on, Hestel York was not the same man. He was always in church and still, when he's healthy enough, in church. And he's still wearing his overalls to church. Amen? But you can think about certain people that you know that has been absolutely changed just by what the Lord did through his word. And it wasn't that they did certain steps. It's that they embraced the Scripture itself. And that the Scripture itself is sufficient to change a person's life. So that's what this whole sufficiency of Scripture means. It's God's Word that alone is needed to bring about this knowledge of salvation. It's not a bunch of steps that maybe Catholicism has put into place. You know, we talked about that a few months ago, how many steps and many different sacraments that the Catholic Church has added unto Scripture, and that is unbiblical. Well, notice, secondly, Scripture is steadfast. Scripture is steadfast. David, he continues to expand the reach of scriptural sufficiency. In verse 7, the latter part, he says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, that word "sure" there means that the Lord's testimony is unwavering. It's immovable. It's unmistakable. It is reliable. It is worthy to be trusted. Now, you contrast that with man's word. You contrast that with the politician's word, right? Totally different. Totally different. So, in other words, God's word provides for us a foundation in which to build one's life and eternal destiny. He said, God's sure word makes simple, makes the simple wise. Now, that word translated simple comes from an expression that means an open door. An open door. And it's an image of a naive person who does not know to shut his mind to false or impure teaching. He is undiscerning. He's ignorant. He's gullible. But God's word makes that man wise. It makes him wise. Now, why is he now wise? Because he now is submitting to Scripture. And he knows how to apply the Scripture to his life, to his circumstances. And so the Word of God then takes a simple mind, right? Hey, if you try to understand the Word of God just by your own logic and reasoning, you're never going to do it. That's why scientists, the smartest men in the world, Richard Dawkins, all these guys, they absolutely miss the meaning of Scripture because they're looking at it only through logic and so forth. But the Word of God takes a simple mind with no discernment, but yet makes it skilled in the issues of life. Why? Because that person embraced the Scripture. Embraced the Scripture. Well, notice the third thing of why we believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. Number three is Scripture is right. It is right. In verse 8, David adds a third statement. He says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Rather than simply indicating what is right as opposed to wrong, the word translated right has the sense of showing someone the true path. The truths of Scripture lay out the proper path through the difficult maze of life. And what happens is that brings to us a wonderful confidence. And sadly, so many people are discouraged and they are distressed because they lack what? They lack direction. They lack purpose. How many people today lack direction and purpose? How many young people today, young adults, lack direction and purpose? And sadly, most of them are seeking answers from the wrong places and wrong sources. But God's Word not only provides a light to our path, but also sets the path before us. That is why it is so important to read the Scripture. Somebody may ask me, "Brother Wade, would you pray for me? I have to make a decision in the next year to come or in the days to come." Well, listen, the best thing that you can do is to get in God's Word. Why? Because the Bible tells us His Word is a light unto my path. Right? It's a light unto my path. And what that meant was in those days, when they would travel at night, they didn't have the LED flashlights we'd have today, right? They didn't have that. And so when they would travel in the dark paths at night, they would tie somehow a torch on the bottom of their feet that would stretch out a certain length. And so every step they took, it just gave them enough light for each step. It did not give them light for 200 feet or 200 yards. It just gave them enough light for the next step. Well, listen, that is much like the Word of God is to us. We want to know what happens in our life 5 years from now, 10 years from now, but you get in Scripture, and that Scripture gives you enough light for that day and for that next step. And so doing that, when a person does that, they then have the wisdom and discernment and the confidence that's not based upon themselves, it's based upon the Word of God that we have. And so that is the sufficiency of Scripture. It is right. It sets us on the true path. As I said earlier, it sets the path before us. Why? Because it steers us through the right course of life, and that is God's Word brings us great joy. You see, if one is fearful, if one is doubting or despondent, the solution is found in learning to obey God's counsel and sharing in the resulting joy and delight of God's Word. Divine truth is the fountain of true and lasting joy. And that's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Divine truth, the Word of God, which is inspired, it has authority from God itself, from God Himself, is the fountain of true and lasting joy. All other sources are shallow. All other sources are fleeting. Notice, fourthly, Scripture is pure. It's pure. Psalm 19, verse 8 gives us a fourth characteristic of Scripture's sufficiency. It says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The word pure there is a word that means clear or understandable. And it indicates to us that Scripture is not mystifying. It is not confusing. It is not puzzling, but rather it is very clear and it is very understandable. God's Word reveals truth to make the dark things light, bringing eternity into bright focus. Now, yes, as Peter talked about in 1 Peter, there are things in Scripture that are hard to understand, right? There are some very tough Scriptures that we may not fully understand. We may debate on certain meanings and so forth. But taken as a whole, the Bible is not a confusing book. Rather, the Word of God is very clear. It is a book that is very understandable, even for a child to understand. Why? Because of its clarity, Scripture brings understanding where there is ignorance. Scripture brings to us order where there is confusion. And it brings to us light where there is spiritual and moral darkness. Now again, and this stands in stark contrast to the confused thinking of unredeemed man. That's why we never try to get counsel from unregenerate people, especially spiritual things or things of that nature. You never get counsel from folks who really living a life of confusion, even if they don't know it themselves. So God's Word clearly reveals the blessed, hopeful truths that we can see as He enlightens our eyes. Notice fifthly, Scripture is clean. It is clean. Psalm 19, verse 9, David uses the term fear. Really, he uses the term fear as a synonym for God's word. The fear of the Lord, he says, is clean, enduring forever. And this word fear, it speaks about a reverential awe for God that compels believers to worship the Lord Jesus. And so Scripture, in this sense, is the divine manual on how we are to worship the Lord. Now, that word clean speaks of the absence of impurity. It speaks of the absence of filthiness and defilement or imperfection. In other words, Scripture is without corruption. It is without error. We believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. It is without evil. The truth it conveys is therefore absolutely undefiled and without blemish. Remember what 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says. It says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Well, listen, this is God's holy word, and His word is a very reflection of who He is. And so if He is light, so too is His word, right? And so because it is flawless, Scripture endures forever, verse 9 tells us. Scripture is eternally and really unalterably perfect. In other words, it does not need any updating. It does not need any editing or refining. Why? Because it is God's revelation for every generation. You see, we live in a day and time where people today want to edit God's word. And they'll say something like this: well, homosexuality was a sin back in those days, but it's no longer. God has changed His mind on that. You probably will hear that. Or any other subject. Well, we need to update the Word of God. And some people have translated Bible versions that have no gender in the Scripture. They just felt like it needed to be updated and edited. But my dear friend, let me tell you something. God's Word is never to be believed in such a manner. It is eternally perfect. If it is a sin, if homosexuality was a sin when God wrote the Word of God, and listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's still a sin today. And then notice lastly, Scripture is true. Scripture is true. Verse 9 says, "The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." The word judgments in this context refer to the ordinances or divine verdicts from the bench of the supreme judge of the earth. The Bible is God's standard for judging the life and eternal destiny of every person. We are going to be judged by the Word of God. And so because Scripture is true, the psalmist said it is righteous altogether. In other words, the implication of that phrase is that its truthfulness is completely righteous. It is completely holy. In other words, the Word of God is set apart from every other writing. It is set apart from every other man-made book. And so contrary to what many are teaching today, there is no need for additional revelations. There is no need for visions or words of prophecy. Why? Because we have been given the full revelation of Scripture in God's Word. It is all sufficient. all sufficient. And so instead of us seeking something more than what He has already given us in His glorious revelation, Christians need only to study and obey what they already have. Why? Because Scripture is sufficient. That is the sufficiency of Scripture. Now, do you remember a few months ago we looked at the five solas, the five different phrases of the Reformation that the Reformers put together as more or less a statement of their distinction of the Catholic Church? Well, do you remember what sola scriptura meant? Scripture alone. This is what the Reformers meant when they said sola scriptura, Scripture alone. The Bible alone is sufficient. It's sufficient. It is not the Bible plus what the Pope says. It is not the Bible plus the Eucharist, the Holy Communion. It is not the Bible plus this and this and this. The Bible alone is sufficient. Scripture alone. And so God has given us the full revelation of Himself. And think about that. That God in His grace has given us His holy word. And it is a gracious reflection of who He is. He didn't have to do that. He could have just left us in our sin and we could have died and went to hell. But in His great love, He set out to provide for us His holy word. And it is authoritative. It is inspired. It is God-breathed. And it is then all-sufficient. And because it is inspired, it came from God, it is therefore inerrant. It is perfect. It is infallible. There's no mistakes as far as what God has said to us in His word. There's no need of updating. And the word of God is always going to be preserved. And so that is the sufficiency of Scripture. Now, next week, we're going to be looking at some different questions concerning bibliology. And again, we're just skimming the surface here. And so next week, we're going to be looking at questions concerning the study that we've looked at thus far.